and I need to understand something. God said, you belong to me. You're my child. And I want you to have a spiritual awakening. Well, now, let me explain a little more about the spiritual awakening focus. I'll be talking to you about the Apostle Paul in a moment. God love him. Brilliant. Called by God, touched by God, an apostle of God. And more than on one occasion, he went against what the Holy Spirit told him to do. When the Holy Spirit of God would come to him and said, don't go there, Paul went anyway. But do you know a reason that he did? In his zeal to get the message of Christ out, so often he would bypass the Holy Spirit power and go it alone. He had in his own mind a good reason to do it. They need me now. Holy Spirit saying, Paul, slow it down. Hang on. The time's not right. Paul goes, and he gets stoned, whipped, ran out of town, close to death. Now, you talk about a man that ended up with arthritis and all the aches and pains. He's in a car wreck about every week or so, and they didn't even have cars. You feel that way in your own life sometime? You know, I just feel like I've been in a wreck. A couple looked at me this morning out in the hallway and said, what's wrong? You don't look good. And I said, I didn't know anything was till you told me. And God says to you and me, now you might not look too hot, but you wait till I send you, will you? I got a job for you to do. Now it's going to have to be at the right time, at the right moment, to the right individual. But in zeal for Christ, yeah, I want everybody to get saved. I just do. I want everybody to find peace. I just do. But folks, everybody is not going to get saved and find peace on my schedule. And many will never. Even though it's not lost, they can't find it. Because they're looking in their own direction. Not just in the wrong direction. They're looking in their own direction. Right here's where I'm going to find peace. Well, how do you know that? The only thing I haven't tried yet. God says, trust me. I'll give you the answers. Now, does that mean that we're going to go without the hurt and pain? No, that means you're going to have a lot more of it. If you think by becoming a Christian, life gets easy, ask a Christian. See, I'm amazed at the young people of our generation. They're standing up for what's right. And I'm so proud of them. Young baby Grayson over there coming up. Young Owen, are you back there, Owen? Yep. They entertain us in their youth. They're the leaders of our future. God touches the heart, and God does the calling. And to see these young people today, I know we had someone in our family on Faith side. I don't know many on my side, but on Faith side, a young boy, and they just decided to go out and had a prayer meeting or something on an occasion. They just all got together and prayed about a situation. I thought, isn't that great? Young men, young women getting out to have a prayer meeting. Woo! That's what we need. Amen. And God says, that's what I'm sending you. But I want you to lay the groundwork, and I want you to make the ground solid. And I want you to tell them my word when I tell you to tell them. Sometimes we might preach the gospel, but we're preaching the gospel to a brick wall. Because, well, yeah, but I preached the gospel. Yeah, but you were in the middle of a field. The cows didn't care. They didn't understand. They already knew God. And the Lord says, I want you to be spiritually awake. I want you to believe and receive. But I want you to believe and receive so others can believe and receive with you. Does it always work? Now let me tell you something. You and I use our own terms. Well, did it work? I heard you pray the other day. Did it work? Listen to me, folks. Prayer is conversation with God. God says, I will always hear you and I will always answer you. Christian, will God always answer your prayer? Yes. Always. He answers your prayer. If you have a child that is hungry, would you not feed that child? That child is hurting. Do you not cuddle that child? Unless you're a nurse and you say they're not bleeding yet. I love those in the medical field. We're frightened to death when we go in with a child. They're looking at you saying, it's a hangnail, but it's my child. You get the point? That's my child. Who put that hangnail on my child? God looks at you and me the same way. Only God says you don't have to try it. I want you to trust it. Remember the Lord said, try me and see if I'm not faithful? Listen to me, born again believer. He says, now trust me. I will show you my faithfulness to you. So I want you to come alive in a spiritual awakening. Well, Paul was spiritually awake, but then several times in his ministry, he backed away from the Spirit. Did he back away from his trust in God? He backed away from God's calling. We preachers do that. Pastors do that. God says, wait. Lord, they're hurting really bad. Wait. And you wait. And you don't think things are going right. So you get in there and you decide you're going to help the Lord out, Brother Randy. Don't you worry, Lord. I know you're busy. I'll go take care of it. No, you can't. It has to be at the right time. Doesn't it, baby Jason? Grayson. At the right time. I love to look in the eyes of children because you see the purity of life. And you want to know what it's like to be around something that is close to perfect? Be around a baby born in sin, solidly protected by God, full of grace, mercy, and the truth. Watch the smile. Hear their heartbeat. You do, don't you, Mama? You know the every breath they take. You can tell when they got a cold. You can tell when they're crying because they're truly hurting or they're fussing. You know the difference between the cries. You're looking at the crying and crying and no tears. But God says, I want you to know this. When you have faith in me, have faith in my timetable. There's coming a time in your life, Christian, to when God is going to put his hand on you and say, now, preach that message. Now, take that stand. Now, speak up. Now, be silent, for I will withdraw my word. But God says, on my time schedule. Apostle Paul, God had told him they wanted him to go to Rome. Well, in those days, it wasn't an idea, okay, I book a flight to Rome. Had to be a way to get there. It ended up the only way Paul was going to get to Rome was be a Roman prisoner, as a Roman citizen, as he was. And God had laid out the plan. But he said, Paul, believe and receive. Have faith in me. Not in your great intellect, not in what you think, not in how tough you really are. And he was tough. but have faith in me. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I believe and receive. Now listen to me. It is very, very, very important for you and me to understand this truth. As God looks at our heart, He animates us. He brings us to life. He brings us to life for certain purposes within our own individual life. But He says, I want you to understand that faith produces God's promise revealed to you. Now, God's promise to me will be followed through. I have no power over God's promise. God said, I promise to love you, Larry. I'm loved, and I'm not lovable. You're loved, and you're not lovable. You see, God's promise is not controlled by your actions, my actions. I cannot control God's promise. If I could, I'd mess it up. So God said, I'm going to reveal to you when you believe. We missed the blessing. God said, Larry, you're going to heaven. Folks, I count it as I'm already there. Well, what if you mess up? I've already messed up. So have you. We're a mess of mess ups. But God says, I promised you. You're mine. So God's promise cannot be controlled by my actions or inactions. Can't happen. But God says, I want you to understand this. You can sure miss the blessings. Because when you have faith, I will reveal that peace to you. I have the peace. He'll give it to us, but we can't see it so often. Do you ever think on something for so long and then you realize later on when you figured it out, you know, I knew that all along, but it was hidden from us. That's because we're not having faith in Christ. We're not having faith in what God says. Now, God said, Paul, you're going to go to Rome and preach. Ain't no way, Lord. How am I going to get there? He leaves the island of Crete on a ship. 276 human souls aboard that ship, and they're sailing towards the island of Malta. Been there. And as they're sailing towards the island of Malta, Paul had warned them at another small island, you do not want to get out in that ship now. Do not set sail. They set sail. After all, who's going to listen to a prisoner? They set sail. And the scripture says there was a horrible storm. Well, I believe the old English says, not a small matter was it. Meaning it was big. There was a raging storm that was hitting on his way. And here Paul is. Paul has a revelation from Almighty God. A spiritual awakening. And he's trying to talk to a shipload of non-believers. 275 others. He's preaching Jesus crucified. That's what Paul's doing. But the storm was raging to the point that they lost all hope. They ended up having to cut the anchors loose. 14 days, a couple of weeks it should have been all it took to get there, to Malta. 14 days, there was no let up. The captain of the ship had no control. The ship was just going around on its own, so they said. But God had a purpose for all of it. They were all sick. And the Apostle Paul, God love him, you know what he's saying about on the 14th day when he told them to eat? He starts out with, told you all you shouldn't have sailed. I told you I was right. And that was who Paul was. But you did anyway. But then Paul wants to reveal something to them that you and I need to understand. And we need to be ready to reveal to a lost and dying world. On this ship, with all these individuals, all the non-believers, on this ship, Paul looks and he expresses his spiritual awakening. All right, Paul, it's time to talk. Can't you imagine Paul sitting there? You all remember being on ship for the first time, you all who have ever been on a ship, the kind that we go to battle in. 3 days I could not get out of the rack. 3 days. The greatest blessing I had, I was on the top bunk. Horrible. They were in that for 14 days. And Paul says, it's time to eat, boys. You're going to need your strength. And here's what he said to them. Now I want you to listen. In Acts 27 verses 22 through 25. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. Well, you see, if you knew that two-week voyage in the background of it, some of the sailors tried to let down the lifeboat and they was going to get out of the way and let all the prisoners die anyway. The Roman guard was getting ready to kill their prisoners to keep them from escaping. And God intervened in all of this. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. They weren't that courageous, but Paul was trying to stimulate a little courage here. Because not one, now listen, not one of you will be lost. 276, the ship's breaking up, the waves are coming in, the pounding has started. And this man Paul says not one person's going to be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, here's his revelation. An angel of God, whose I am. Paul liked that. I like that too. Angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God. And whom I serve, stood beside me. And said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God, now listen, has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Let me cut to the shipwreck. They were going to head into the beach. They saw the island of Malta. They were going to go to the sandy beach. Can't you picture Paul and Luke on here with him? Saying, you know, finally, we're going to ram that ship right into the beach. Trouble was, they hit a rock or a sandbar full of rocks. Everything's wedged. Once again. Well, there's no hope. How many times do you say that in a day? I see no hope. Paul said, I'm going to reveal something to you. I'm going to reveal you in a spiritual awakening for the time you needed, for this moment. That's not something that's going to happen later. Now, I told you. I'm going to save you, Paul. Tell them. Amen. Those who could swim, the Roman officer said, get out there and swim to the beach. They swam. Those who couldn't swim, they grabbed a board. They're like a lot of folk I know that's afraid of water. They grabbed a bunch of boards and held on to them. And every one of them made it to the beach safely. Why? It was in a spiritual awakening for that period, for that time. But Paul had the spiritual awakening. And he shared it with a whole shipload of non-believers. Luke and the other Christians not included, of course. But he shared it with them. Now, all of these people are safe on shore. Nobody died. Hey, Paul, you're pretty awesome. They go up and Paul starts gathering firewood. The natives of the island, you know what? They noticed something different. You know, how did God, they were idol worshipers. How did their God protect them? So they were really nice and they're bringing stuff. Paul's walking over with a load of kindling for the fire. And they noticed something. There was a viper, a vicious, deadly snake. It grabbed a hold of Paul's arm. Now, for those of you who want to worship the snakes and do the charming, I want to tell you what God told Paul to do. Paul walks over to the fire and he twists his arm and the snake falls into the fire. He worshiped him all right. He sent him on to snake hell, wherever. But then the natives on the island looked at him. He must be a great sinner, for the deadliest of snakes has bitten him. He's owned by the devil. That'll be said of you, Christian, many times when you stand for God's word. Then they kept watching him. What dude ain't dead yet? He should have been dead. He's still living. Then finally they said, no, he's a god. That's the world. You're either a devil or you're a god. But only while you're pleasing anybody or displeasing them. And do you know that because of that spiritual awakening of Paul for that time period, he was able there 3 months, Brother Randy, he preached on the island of Malta. The islanders, they brought food. They treated them like royalty. And they got ready to get back on a ship from Alexandria. And they get ready to get on there. The whole island showed up and gave them all the provisions they would need. Because they saw something special about that shipload. That was some shipload dumped out there. The point is this. It was Paul's spiritual awakening that awakened those who didn't believe. And I said this to each one, Christian. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. Folks, I have quit every Monday morning since I can remember. Every pastor makes sure he's got his resignation letter. You pull it out on Monday out of the drawer and you pray a little while and you put it back in till next Monday. But we all do that in life, do we not? We're tired of it. Lord, I'm tired of this mess. Well, Larry, you need to quit contributing to it. Lord, I'm going to blame it on Randy. You see? But God said, I have a spiritual awakening for you. But Christian, you're getting too antsy. You can't move up your time of your spiritual awakening service. I'm spiritually awake. I know my Savior. I know who He is. I know to whom I belong. And I am persuaded that He is able to hold on to me until that day. But you and I, we have a job to do. A ministry. And it is so important that we get about the ministry God has called us to individually. I can't do your work for you. I can't. But I can certainly share with you my spiritual awakening of hope. And I share that with you by letting each person know God has that particular appointed time, maybe several different times throughout your life, that He will allow you to rise up. He'll rise you up, raise you up. He'll get you up. And He will make sure that you go do that particular ministry He's called you to. that particular ministry could be a particular individual, one particular life that you will touch. You said to me on your deathbed, young lady, that all you asked God for was one more year so you could see your family in this church that now fills 2.5 pews. One more year, Brother Larry. That's 7 years ago, woman. We ain't never going to die if we keep all this stuff up, are we? Think of that. Maybe 8 years now. Long time ago. Do we not understand then such a blessing? A spiritual awakening. When God says, you ask me, I'll give it to you. You tell me what you're needing. I'll see to it you have it. I just want you to show up. And I want you to understand that it is my spirit that will awaken the other spirits, not yours. It is me that will give you life. It will be my voice. God says, it's my spirit. But when I promise you something, I'll keep it. But I want you to see it. Listen to me, Christian. God's promise is real in your life. But God says, I want to reveal it to you. But you must have faith to see. Believing is not seeing. Seeing is believing. When you believe, then you see. But my lack of trust in God does not demean His power surrounding me. In no way will He back away from His promise to me or you. He says, I know you're nothing but man. I know you're human. Who knows you better than God, your Creator? God created me and He created you. He knows all the messes that goes on in your mind. He knows all those bad chips that don't no longer spark. He knows all that stuff. But you know what He knows most of all? You belong to Him. You're my child. I got a blessing waiting for you. And you hear me on this. What if I foolishly do something that will cost me my life today, when God had a blessing waiting for me to be a part of tomorrow? I don't want to miss out on any blessings. I'm selfish. I like the feeling of being blessed. So I'm going to love my enemy, even though I can't stand to be around them. I want the blessing. Don't you want the blessing? Don't you want to be able to feel the Spirit? Can you not feel the Spirit of those who have gone on? Do we not understand that spiritual awakening that God has given to you and to me is an interconnection? It's not just intercontinental. It's interstellar. It's, what's the term, Randy? You're the smart one. I dug my hole. Now get out, preacher. It's from here to eternity. And there's no ending. God knows my name and yours. And He said, I'm ready to bless you again. But Larry, you got to hang around for the blessing. And when you believe me, you will see it. But just in case you're all wondering, yes, you get blessed even if you don't recognize it. Huh? Oh, I did this. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I did all this myself. Well, you sure messed up on yourself because we're still failing. But you know one thing I'm not? That's a failure. I might be failing on a daily basis, but I'm no failure. The day I totally fail and become a failure is when I'm down and don't get back up. But I do that on my own pride or whatever. God bless him, he lived through that. As God touches your heart and mine, listen to His Spirit. God needs you in His army or you wouldn't be here. that let's be about our Father's business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name and give you thanks. Lord, all of us have been in so many shipwrecks in our life. So often, Heavenly Father, we backed away when we should have stood. We stood when we should have backed away. We've done it wrong, Father, but you've made it right. We've fallen short, but you've always pulled us up. We're yours, Father, and we commit our life to you. We commit to you, Father, the only hope we have for peace. Bring us back to life again as a church, as your body, standing strong for your Son, for your truth, for your wisdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.